Boom, baby. We didn't get the win. Who cares? We got what we wanted. We got another double-digit comeback. Third quarter of our wet dreams, man. Just imagine what would happen if we start playing that first quarter. But you know what? Give the Nuggets credit. They came out, they punched us right in the face. And it took us the rest of the game to scrap all our energy to bust back in the third quarter, and we couldn't hang on. But that's normal. We're playing against a good team, man. Somebody just tied Wilt Chamberlain for the all-time triple-double list. What you got to say, Dave? I'm rambling.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand how people are going to be upset, especially about certain players' minutes and all that other stuff. But, man, I got to say is that, that quarter, it didn't really matter. You know, like, I understand that there's the right combination of players out there to give yourself the best opportunity to win. But let's just be honest, is that when we saw what happened that third quarter, as a Thunder fan, 95-93 going into that fourth quarter, you got to feel really good. You got to feel really, 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 really good. And to be honest, like, the game at that point is 0-0.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets, who are a seasoned team, a very deep seasoned team, they just showed up. And there's nothing wrong against that. And I want to also throw this out there. Joka had an enormous triple-double, 15 points, like 14 rebounds, 13 assists, right? And I'm watching him play, and I can't help but see Poku a little bit in that, man. You know, like, and I understand that people are going to say, oh, my gosh, you know, totally different body sizes, totally different. Yes, I get it. But the way that Poku passes the ball, the way that he concludes includes everybody in that offense, man, I got to get excited about the way Poku's playing and really what he could be in 7 years.
What he is now is exciting. You know, it's taken a while, but some people are starting to come around because they're starting. I think that maybe you have a bigger influence, or maybe it's not like literally you, but it's people like you who are willing to give Poku a different look. You can't.
He deserves it, man.
Yeah, you can't put him on like this.
He's 20 years old, yeah. Been in the league for 3 years. His defense is spectacular. I mean, yeah, he has some, you know, blimps of like, okay, what was that? But I'm sorry. Pick a 20-year-old in the league, and I'll show you some blimps that they've had.
Yeah, and then the good moments are so good. That's what's kind of frustrating is how quick people are willing to forget about how good he is when he's good.
Yeah.
But, of course, I mean, when he first came in, he'd show us glimpses, and then, you know, whatever. We wouldn't see it consistently, but he's done enough to earn a starting spot on this team. He's doing enough, you know, rim protecting. It's interesting. He starts kind of like, here's two things I'd say about our roster. First, we don't really believe that there's such a thing as like a point guard. Every starter on our team is capable of bringing the ball up the court and running the point guard, depending on the lineup needs. And then, and not just the starters, but pretty much every bench player. So you have that. And then we also don't have a true center. Everybody on that lineup is capable of defending the five. Shea and Dort would be the two biggest questions, but they can do it on switches anytime. Giddy, Poku, JRE. Yeah. So
especially if it's out in the perimeter.
Right. So great starting group, but you also got to give Coach a ton of credit, right? Because let's face it, that the starting group has a lot of youth. And so what did he do to start the fourth quarter? Right? He brings Moose and Kenny Williams in. And man, did they give us that look that we were needing, fought all the way back. Now, we didn't get it done, but, you know, we're always looking for narratives, right? We're always like, okay, what is the narrative of this game? And I already said it. Double-digit comeback.
That's it.
There wasn't even a heartbeat in the first half. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It wasn't like, oh, well, we just didn't care, right? Like, sometimes that a lack of caring will be it. It's just offensively, like, we were missing shots we make. And then we started making them. And then,
as simple as that.
Like, hey, that team is good. They're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to have success, and they're going to get awards.
They have that next gear like us. Like, we stepped up that gear. We went switched into that next gear that third quarter, and then they just matched us in that fourth quarter. You know, like, listen, that's what's going to happen with a seasoned team. You know, it's not going to be the same every single time. But listen, our team is not going to be getting down in that first quarter like we did every single game. And if we don't get down in that first quarter like every single game, then guess what? We win this game by 5 points.
Well, at least we have a chance, right? And it's going to take one possession at the buzzer either way. That's what we love. You know, give us a chance and we'll start winning these. We've been on a good run.
This is quality minutes, man.
What?
This was quality minutes for these guys last night.
Every one of them.
And if you look at, like, what Coach D did last night for the players, like, JRE, 23 minutes, Poku, 28, Dort, 31, Shea, 35, Giddy, 32, Kenny Hustle, 22, right? I like that. He shortened up the rotation. He didn't put as many minutes on these younger guys or these guys that are trying to get second contracts, whatever you want to call them. He kept them around that 12 to 16-minute mark, 17-minute mark. And you know what? That's going to happen. That's going to happen when you're playing a close game like this. And there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, we needed shooters out the end there. But listen, we were trying to get back and fight back the way that Coach D wanted us to fight back. So I can't hate it or knock it the way that we had to crawl back like that. And listen, people got what they got because of the way that they played in the third quarter. And that's simple.
So, Shea, 37 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, 4 rebounds, 17 shots, bro.
Whew.
13 of 17 from the field, 11-11 from the free throw line. I mean, we can say that's a superstar stat line. It is. No matter what Absolutely. Generation it is. But here's the amazing part, bro. It's also not one of his best games this season. Like, it is so far. It is so far. I'm not going to say it isn't so far. But when you look back at the end of the season, as long as he stays healthy and he plays anywhere around 70-plus games, you're going to look back and be like, this is a good game, but he had 10 games better than this. So this is just what we expect with Shea, and that is the sign of a true superstar. But we want this team to win. He wants this team to win. He doesn't want to go out there and put up 37 points in a loss, sure. right? Nobody wants that. So what can this team do better? I know we're going to get more from Giddy. He's coming back. He was up to 31 minutes, which is, you know, seems like his minutes restrictions are going away. Dort, he put up 19 points, so he had a good game. But when you look down at the rest of the guys, right? Poku, 6. JRE, 10. Kenny, 5. Trey, 4. J-Dub, 8. Baze, 2. Mike, 0. And Jang, 3. It's obvious that, like, we have a lot of guys who can put some points in the basket, but we need that next 20-plus point score if we're going to be able to outscore a team that scores buckets like the Nuggets sure. do, right? Sure. It's Murray and Joker. That's what makes this fucking thing go. And here we are. We got Shea, but we need that other guy. And, bro, I know we can say, well, wait till we get Chet. That's the easy answer. But let's just play hypothetical world, right? We've got around 30 picks coming up. If we were to, like, consider potentially adding a piece, I know everybody's already rolling their eyes, right? Nobody wants to talk about this because that's not what press is going to do right now. But if we were, like, say something happened, what piece would you look at and say that might be a good piece to add to this team?
Well, first of all, I'm looking at what other teams are playing against us. And if you've noticed last night, at one point they had Aaron Gordon, Porter, Joka, Green, and no. I don't know, Brown or somebody like that. It was somebody
Porter
off Jr. the bench.
Maybe, yeah.
Just big guys. They just went all big, all right? Yeah. They could have had – then they subbed out put in Murray there with the big guys as well, right? I'm seeing this, and I'm like, okay, that's how Orlando played us. That's how, you know, Minnesota played us. And it's kind of like, okay, maybe this is, like, what's happening is teams see that we have a quote-unquote weakness at that center position or that power forward position, which is humorous for me because now – that's how teams are going to look at us, right? But we have Chet next year. So when Chet comes back, that's not going to how, you know, teams are going to have to look at a different way, which is going to be beneficial for us next year. But this year, we just got to figure out how that is. So if you're acting, if you're saying we get to add one player, you know, through the trade, I would pick up somebody that is obviously a good team leader and somebody that needs to get minutes at that power forward and can switch over to that center position because – if you look at it, like, it would have been huge for us if we could have had somebody in there guarding Aaron Gordon better. You know, like I just don't think Baisley was up for the task. I don't think Poku was up for the task. I don't think JRE was up for the task. So with that being said, is we just need a
so
big,
let me throw a name out
body.
There. Jeremy what? Grant. I mean, we don't want Jeremy Grant. But my point
I
is,
I love Jeremy Grant. Why wouldn't we want Jeremy Grant?
Because at this stage, right, he's in a different stage of his career. I love Jeremy Grant too, and I'm happy for him. He's getting paid good money. But let's just say when Jeremy Grant, when we got him, right, he was a guy that wasn't really getting minutes for the Sixers.
Sure.
Right. And he really transitioned into being a really good player. Like, that's what I would look at. And so as when I said, you know, what type of move would we make? That's kind of like one of those moves that nobody thought was a big deal when we made that trade. Right. But over time, he turned into be a really good player. So I think that there's obviously a place for a player who is on the bench of a good team, who we believe in because we were watching them during the draft process and hasn't been able to crack the rotation. And we could maybe add them and give us that player. And I don't want to target any individuals, but like you said, like that center slash power forward role, we're used to Steven Adams.
So we don't need a starting person there. We don't. We just need somebody to fill the body until Chet comes back.
Or keep playing along
because,
with them. I mean,
listen, Poku
Derek
does better,
Favors was that kind of role.
Yeah.
He got some
And Poku does better guarding that center position where he can stay someplace in that lane.
Yeah, with his back to the basket more, right?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, JRE is phenomenal at what he's doing, but he's also 6'8". You know, like somebody like Aaron Gordon can just go right over him every single time because he doesn't have that jumping ability. So, again, it's just somebody that's wide, somebody that's big, you know, somebody that in a way that needs to get a better – it's almost like we needed last year we had Favors, you know?
Right,
like,
exactly, yeah.
Like that big wide body that can just go in there when we're playing against a team like Denver or like Minnesota that can just play in those games. Like, that's it. His usefulness is limited to what games that we need him in. And I like Mike Muscala in that position, but you play Mike more than 20 minutes a game in three or four games in a row, and he's going to get injured. You know, like his body, he's getting old. And that's not a knock on Mike Muscala at all. That's just the way he is. He's just a, you know, older guy in the body now.
He's really not that old, which is crazy.
I know, he's like 31. But
crazy
young comparatively to us. But when push comes to shove, I look at Mike Muscala as one of those guys that in a typical game, if he could come in and put up, you know, 25 minutes in a game like this, right? It benefits everybody around. That's what we need. We just need a big guy that can put in 25 minutes in a game like this that will stop Aaron Gordon from going off, and eventually we win because of it.
And then let me just totally backtrack off of everything that we just said, right?
Yeah.
And come up with this and just say, what if we get more out of Jang and J-Dub, who both have big bodies, 6'10", 6'6", long arms. But look, we're not going to get it today.
That's why we don't want somebody long-term in that spot.
Right.
You know, because J-Dub and Jang, they need those minutes. And that's why we need a player that is willing to just come in certain games. And the rest of the games are for those guys. You know, we're not taking their minutes away. We're just shifting them in a way that would be more beneficial to them for their
So let's say, let's
career.
Look at it. J-Dub had a good game, right?
Yeah.
8 points, 4 of 7 shooting, 2 assists. I mean, and if you do go out there in 14 minutes, you knock down 4 shots and have 2 assists, then you were doing things right on the offensive end.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
So let's move him into the starting lineup, hypothetically. All right. So we got Giddey, Shea, J-Dub, Dort. Okay. Now, who are we starting, Poku or JRE?
Listen, I know this. People are going to laugh at me and make fun of me or whatever. I don't give a shit because I've been saying since last year that Poku needs to be playing that center position and that power forward slash back to the basket position because his blocking ability is truly spectacular. And the older he gets, the more meat and the more beef he's going to end up on his bones. So when push comes to shove, you know, I need to see him play those more minutes. And this is a perfect season for us to be able to see him in that position. So I'm going Poku in that five spot.
All right. So then off the bench, we'd end up with JRE, Kenny, Trey Mann, Baze, and Wiggins or Jang or Isaiah Joe or Mike Muscala, right? Like Omorori, yeah. when he gets out there.
See, like last night, Omorori would have been perfect. You know why?
Why?
He could have guarded Eric Gordon, his big wide body. That's what you need against guys like Gordon and these guys that do some really great things is you need a big wide body. And Omorari is that perfect guy. Like Dort has that big wide body, but he's hard for guards to get around. For post players and stuff like that, it's a little bit easier because he's only 6'3". But Omorari, he's like 6'6", 6'7", something in there. I mean, it's a lot more difficult for a power forward, even small forward, to get around him. So I would have loved to see Omorari play last night. But, you know, G League getting ready.
Yeah, man. Overall, man, you can't really say that you want much more from the team than what we saw in this game. I mean, we would love a fifth win in a row. Don't get us wrong. That would have been great. But, like, we're always, like, look at the bright side.
In that third quarter.
Yeah, third quarter. But, man, that third quarter is beautiful, and that's worth watching over and over again on its own. But just understanding that we got the best shot from the Nuggets out of the gate because we earned their respect the last game. And they came out and they said, we're not going to treat them like a team that's bad. We're going to treat them like we would a team that's good. And we're going to come out and we're going to have a game plan and we're going to execute it at a high level. And they did. We made the adjustments at halftime. And we said, we're not your little brother, right? And we fought back like a motherfucker. It wasn't the win that we wanted. It felt like we had a chance. It was the second game, I think, against Denver where we got a bit of a lead and it felt like we have a chance. But then very quickly, they made adjustments that, like, anybody who is really good coaching understands the adjustments are the key. Oh, yeah. You know, we were able to make another adjustment because I think you looked at it and it was like Jamal Murray just said, like, I'm a fucking star and I'm back, right? And then you have to tip your hat and say, I'm really, really, really happy that Jamal Murray is back because as much as I would have liked to win that game, like, he's one of the best players, one of the most exciting players, and has this feel to him that dunk he had, bro, that – reverse dunk on two guys. Yeah. I mean, it's just like
on Baisley too.
Yeah. I mean, you got to tip your hat to him. And so good game by the Nuggets. They got two stars and, you know, we got one and we got a bunch of guys who we think could be the second one. And we're going to see how that works.
Yeah. And I really having a hard time with everybody that's on Twitter right now. That was all over Oklahoma City saying, yeah, this is going to be so much fun this season, and now we get a loss, and then it's like they turn their switches off. You know, Chencho, you know what I'm talking about. You know, Thunder fan, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you guys are being positive out there and just getting crushed by negative people. And this is what I got to say, guys, is that these guys are trolls, all right? Their whole goal is to get responses, and that's all their goal is. They're nameless people, right? No-face people. So when they're out there, and I'm sure Thunder Eagle, you are an incredibly intelligent person, right? But here's the reality. The negative Nancy shit that's on here constantly on Twitter, it's got to stop. And I understand that you're just trying to flex your muscles and show that you have knowledge of the game and showing off like, oh, look it, we needed to do this. Oh, we needed to do this. This is why our team sucks. Like, imagine if you took that negativity and turned it into positivity. And made everything that you talked about with the Oklahoma City Thunder positive. Do you think that you'll get more followers or more interactions? Or do you think you get less? That's what's interesting. Is Oklahoma City Thunder fans like the positivity? So when I'm seeing all this negativity out there and people are getting responses on negativity, it sucks. And I look at this team as a young core. They're learning how to do things. And not everything is going to be perfect out of the gates. So taking a deep breath and taking a step back and observing the positivity that's happening is what we need to do. And Shea's 37 points tonight was crazy amazing, man. I think of the play of the game, in my opinion, is when Baisley missed the putback dunk, got the offensive rebound, didn't know what quite to do with it, and Shea comes streaking down that lane and just chunks it down one-handed. It was spectacular. And I'm looking at everything being put together, And I can't help it, man. I can't help but be like, okay, yeah, it sucks we lost by 12, but last year this would have been by 25. You know, and this year this team is getting it. Shea's getting it. Josh and Shea last night combined for 43 points, man. That's great shit. That is what we need to see this team do. And I'm pumped about it.
So like, let's talk about Josh a bit, dude. Let's talk about it. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
All right. 7 of 14. So no problems with his efficiency. 2 of 4 from deep.
Straight up 50%, 5 assists. Baby.
All right. So how many shots did Josh have that you felt like should have gone in?
Three
Me
more.
Me too. That's what I'm thinking, at least three.
And here's the thing. The other thing I want to throw out there.
Then he's sitting there at 22 points. Go ahead. You go.
And no free throws. There was a couple times I felt like he got fouled on shots or drives. He has zero free throws. Again, when that respect comes, I mean, he should have had 25, 30 points in this game if he had gotten to the free throw line and those other shots, you know, went in.
Absolutely, bro. And so with, like, Dort, right, he shot 8 for 15, so once again, we'll take it. But 1 for 6 from deep. So I feel like in the end, he's a 2 for 6 shooter, and he had 19 points. So there you go. If he knocks down one of those, then he's at 22 points. And so I think that's something to keep in mind too, because, like, Giddey's not in his offensive flow yet. Dort is going to find rhythm that we haven't seen from him yet. We've seen it before at different points, and he's coming out. He's being more aggressive offensively than we've ever seen. He has more touch than we've ever seen, but he also has those moments where it's like the ball just clanks, right?
Yeah.
But he's going to come around. So who else do you think is primed to have a step up just from, you know, things going a little bit better?
Man, I'm telling you guys, this is going to be the year that everybody truly understands how valuable Poku is. It just is, man.
You're full blown on the Poku train. That's it, bro.
Listen. He is the future of what we're trying to do as a big man. If you watch what he's doing out there, coach is not putting him out there for 20 fucking 8 minutes because he's useless out there. He's putting him out there because he's doing great things and constantly keeping the ball running. Picks that he's setting, curling, offensive rebounds. I mean, he's doing everything out there. There's a reason he's getting those minutes. And when he's putting those games that he puts everything together and gets up 15 points, 7 assists, 9 rebounds. Like, listen, these are games that he's putting together. And eventually it's just going to be like, whoa, okay, this is what he can do. Now, I'm not putting a lot of pressure on Poku and saying that he's going to average 15 points a game. That's not his game. His game is playing great defense, getting the ball, keeping the ball alive, offensive rebounds, screening, and just making it difficult for all the other players out there because of his height and because of how skinny and wiry he is. He's going to be one of those guys that we're going to lean on a lot next year. And because of that, I think he's going to be one of those most improved guys on our team.
There you go. And for me, man, I think J-Dub, we gotta find a way to get him 25 minutes a night. And we'll see him averaging 15, 16 points a game this year.
This was a direct correlation to their lineups they played against us, bro. This had nothing to do against J-Dub or some of these other guys that were smaller.
Okay.
They were playing 3 power forwards in the center or 2 power forwards in the center, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't fit because we had Shea and Dort out there a lot. And those two guys led our minutes, and Giddey. So we had two of the three guys out there at almost all times. And because of that, our two guards are already guarding there. So the power forward position, we needed more minutes from JRE and Poku and, the rest of it got split.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, what else we got, dude? We got good things to talk about, but we also got some fucked up shit to talk about, bro.
Dude, with that being said, before we go any further, I just want to say is, I'm here in Washington, D.C. area, right? And I live in a very Jewish area, which is amazing because I have my neighbor who's, his name is John. He's a Jewish guy. Love him to death. And the way that Yi and the way that Kyrie have really shook this community is truly spectacular. I am pissed beyond anything. And on top of that, here we are in Washington, and I've been watching posts from, you know, the Wizards and some other, you know, communities out there waiting for people to have, like, even the smallest support for Danny Avargi, you know, who is the only Jewish player in the NBA. Somebody has got to stand up in the NBA and just be like, we support Danny, you know, because what's happening is wrong. What Kyrie did is wrong. Like, none of that, man. And it's starting to get frustrating. And you know, the area that we live in, it's not, you know, people are very upset. And, you know, they should be. And what the, it took so long for the Brooklyn Nets to do anything that it's just, it's piss poor. You know, now you've got, it's crazy, man. Seriously. Like, what the fuck? You fire a coach instead of suspending a player for the stupid shit he did. Like, now he's suspended for 5 games, but people in Brooklyn are saying that he's not going to come back and play for them.
It seems like it's a open-ended suspension, right?
Yeah. And I don't know how it's going to play out, but my support is for Danny. You know, my support is with him during this time as being the only Jewish player in the NBA, and we need to, as a community of NBA fans, stand up for him, because what Kyrie did and what he said is absolutely wrong. And, you know, like, we saw it happen with Leonard, and he said some crazy stuff, anti-Semitic stuff too, and he's no longer playing in the NBA because of it. Like, Kyrie fucked up, man, and it's just really, really irritating that Adam Silver didn't do anything to do this except, oh yeah, well, we're meeting with Kyrie, and that quote-unquote apology wasn't enough, and all of a sudden, Kyrie gets suspended 5 games without pay, and all of a sudden, he comes up with a really good apology. That's fucked up, man. You didn't give a shit until they took away your pay. And that's even more fucked about what you did.
Seems like that's the way the world works, though, right? In the end, who does give fucking a fuck stupid. Until it hits their pocketbook? But you mentioned it, dude. Adam Silver made a statement before the Nets came out and suspended him for 5 games. Adam Silver's statement was, Kyrie Irving made a reckless decision to post a link to a film containing deeply offensive anti-Semitic material. While we appreciate the fact that he agreed to work with the Brooklyn Nets and the Anti-Defamation League to combat anti-Semitism and other forms of discrimination, I am deeply disappointed that he has not offered an unqualified apology and, more specifically, denounced the vile and harmful content contained in the film he chose to publicize. In full disclosure, I have to say, I haven't watched the film. I don't know what's in it. All I know is that people continue to say that it's deeply offensive, and I'll take the commissioner's word on that. Obviously, Kyrie has a different opinion, and he disagreed with the idea that he should have to apologize because of different things. He had some different, we'll call it, mental gymnastics that he played to avoid, you know, addressing it directly. And so here we are. I just want to say, personally, I can't think of anything that is equivalent to what's happening right now. Like you mentioned Leonard in the past, but, like, this is different because this is like a slow rolling situation. Like, when the Leonard thing happened, it was like, bam, bam, game over.
Yeah, he was out.
Right? Kyrie, it's 5 games today. How long is it going to be tomorrow? Look, we don't know. We don't know if this apology is enough. We don't know if the Nets organization is willing to accept him back. This isn't what they want. They want to be – this seems like the end. I think it's the final KD? Nail. I mean, it's the final nail of this whole experiment with KD and Kyrie, right? I mean, it was an experiment. Players, you know, run the organization. Let's just see what happens.
All right. Everything gets blown up. KD gets out of there, right? Kyrie gets traded to the Lakers for a song, okay? Because the only team that wants him is the Lakers. So Kyrie goes, joins the Lakers. You got KD joining a team, let's say the Pelicans, because they have enough assets to trade for him, all right? Ben Simmons, because they got to get assets. Ben Simmons, where he going? Where is he going? Is he a player that we look at that we say, another playmaker? Or are we staying clean of that?
We always...
I want Ben Simmons on our team.
We always bring Ben Simmons up for the Thunder trade. But in the end, we'll see. Obviously, the Thunder have a stockpile of picks. Do they think that this is the year that they want to cash in on some of them? I don't know.
But the reason that we take Ben Simmons and we talk about Ben Simmons, Mark, and the reason that it's something that's valuable to talk about is because it's not going to be expensive for Ben. And bringing Ben to Oklahoma City where he doesn't have the loud noises going on is only going to help his career. Oh, and by the way, we've got the best shooting coach in the NBA.
He's young enough. I mean, it would be interesting for
He's
sure.
He's only 24 or 25, man. Right. He's Shea's age.
But who knows? I know, dude. Let's talk a little bit about – we got – this is interesting. We got Luka Doncic, all right? He's off to a hell of a start.
Insane.
Unlike anything we've seen in the last 60 years.
Michael Jordan came off big one time like this.
Well, I know what you're saying, but here you go. You ready? Luka Doncic, first since Wilt Chamberlain with 730 point games to open the season.
Wow.
There you go. It's been 60 years since the NBA has seen a season opening scoring streak like Luka Doncic's sizzling start. I'm reading right now. Doncic has scored at least 30 points in each of the Dallas Mavericks' first seven games. All right, this just repeats it. But it says in the 1962-67 season, that's when Chamberlain did it. And he's known for being a pretty good player, I think, right? I'm just kidding.
I mean, just a little bit.
But he did it. It was the first time he did it, but he had done it. It's been accomplished three previous times. Two times by Chamberlain and one by Jack Twayman. That's the first time I've heard his name, I think. But
does he play for 1950s or something like that, 1940s?
I don't know. Anyway, I got that Wilt Chamberlain autograph.
Nice.
Bro, I know you got one too.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain. I don't know what that's worth, but I know when we got it, it was worth a few hundred. Anyway, all right, let's talk about some other shit. You want the good news or the bad news first?
Give it to me sideways, baby.
All right. We got Kansas suspends Bill Self for 4 games. 4 infractions that were related to the FBI investigation that brought down so many people. But it seems like Bill Self got off pretty cheap with a 4-game suspension. What's going on anymore? Like, now they have image and likeness deals. I just feel like we're suspending people based on old rules that nobody follows anymore.
I think Kansas was fucking smart about it. They recognized and smelt was on the horizon. If they just waited long enough, though, it could be only a 4-game suspension versus a whole season.
Or worse. Some people, I think, got fired for this deal, right?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, bro, fired, careers got ruined, players got, thrown out, essentially. Yeah, man,
what the fuck is the FBI doing investigating this shit? It was a mess. It was a mess, dude.
Because the Federal Bureau of Investigations likes to put their hands in shit for no reason, bro.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that whole,
don't stick your hand here.
Well, you remember that, scandal with, Lori Loughlin from Full House, the college admission scandal?
Yes.
I just saw the other day that one of the guys that got convicted with that committed suicide. And he was, a successful producer and stuff. And I'm like, they ruined so many lives. And I get that they wanted to make a point. But it's was that really what needed to happen to every single person who was involved in that? He went to prison for 6 months and he got out, but he could never get his life back. Anyway, we'll move on, dude. We'll move on. All right, so the Snyder family has hired Bank of America Securities to explore selling the Commanders. How do you feel? Like you mentioned, bro, you're in that DC community. How do you feel about this rumor? Rumor? News? I don't know what it is, but I'm reading.
All he's doing right now is stalling the inevitable. That's it. I mean, he's getting a bank involved to find out what the assets are worth and blah, 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 blah. He's just stalling. Motherfucker is going to take forever to make the decision. And finally, when he dies, eventually his team will be passed on. But, I mean, I could be wrong here, but, I guess the commissioner could be putting pressure on him, saying, if you don't sell, I'm going to take the team. You know, and maybe he does have to sell. And if he does have to sell, he gets, am I correct with this? Is that, he's allowed to pick the people that, are vetted. And then the NFL has to make a decision on those players or those owners. So, I mean, there could be a moment where his hands are really, really tied on who he's allowed to pick as the next owner.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about it, dude. I don't know what to say at all. I just think
it's I wish that they had a better name than the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, he really fucked him over with that one right on the way out. The end of his time, not as bad, but I was telling my kids the other day about Jon Stewart, right? Jon Stewart back when he was on The Daily Show, and then somehow we got onto Rob Ford. Now, do you remember Rob Ford? He was the crack smoking mayor of Toronto.
Yeah. I like that dude.
Rob Ford is dead now. Died in 2016. What? But I was showing them some videos of him like denying smoking crack and then admitting smoking crack. And yeah. I looked up, his brother Doug took over, right? For Rob.
Really? I didn't know that.
Okay, well, Doug continued in politics now. Doug is now the the head of the whole province of Ontario. He continued his rise up. So
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good Rob Ford clips. And so I'm going to make sure I include a little bit of a link there for everybody to watch Rob Ford at his finest. And we miss Rob Ford.
Good spirits, man.
Yeah, we miss him. Obviously, he would get crazy whenever he would drink too much. But who doesn't get crazy when they drink too much? No, not all of us are mayors of cities, but in the end, I'm definitely not going to toss the first stone.
Man, that new Hulu show, bro.
What one?
The one about Liberty University's president that liked to see his wife get fucked by pool boys.
Falwell Jr.
Falwell's. That's right. Good shit, bro. It's worth watching because...
You watching that, dude?
Oh, yeah. I watched that. 100% watched.
What's it called, man?
I don't know. It's on Hulu. And just put
tell me something about it while I look it up.
Because, dude, it's just great because here you are ahead and he's like, everywhere he goes, he has a glass and he's drinking his watered down, whatever drink it was. And he's always slurring his words and no one's calling him out for it or anything else.
God forbid.
He's just being him. And then all of a sudden, his wife likes the pool boy and he's totally cool with it.
Look.
So.
I get it. You know what I mean? But once again, not all of us are chancellors or whatever he was, heads of giant universities. And, we've all been there where we wanted to have our wives get fucked by the pool boy, right?
Right. But, okay, I get what you're saying. But, if you go back to how Liberty University and, how it was started and all that stuff, man, it's crazy. And it talks about it in this episode, it's crazy that you see this insane way of thinking and, I don't know, man, Mark and I were part of a very Christian organization when we were growing up and God forbid we got rid of that shit. With all due respect to anybody that's Christian out there, because if you guys were part of a organization like we were, I guarantee you going into a church doors would be the last thing that you would want to do. And you see stuff like this that happen at Liberty University or all over churches where it's like the pastor sleeping with, secretaries and, assistant pastors running away with this person. And it's all over. And it's just like, yeah, well, that's why we don't go to churches, so we can't be let down by the pastors.
Dude, I went to that one church one time in Colorado Springs where the pastor was smoking meth and sleeping with the masseuses that would bring him meth or whatever, however he did it.
Having a fun time.
Yeah, I mean,
on God's dime, is that what they would call?
Shit happens, bro. You know what I mean? Shit happens.
They're just partying on God's dime.
Yeah, I mean.
That 10%, baby.
We're all humans, right? We're all fallible. We're all capable of making mistakes. And some of the people are just like, the stories are so awesome that we just get to keep telling them because it was like such a spectacular fall from grace, as we call it. I don't know. As we call it whatever you want. Call it whatever the fuck you want. We don't call it anything. We've seen a lot of situations, falls from whatever for Kyrie. Now, we don't know how far the pit is, how deep he's going to fall before he hits bottom. You know, it seems like he's been on a mission to be a martyr from everything he's done. And when you can't see where how far this is going to go down, I just wonder at this point, is this it for him? Is this because, you know, at some point you have to hit rock bottom, right? But there's something about people who believe they're martyrs.
Okay.
Like, where is rock bottom? Well, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's different. It's different with martyrs. It's kind of like they just accept this role, and then they walk away from the game. And we'll look back and say, yeah, he's got the skills to play in the game, but who's going to give him a chance? I haven't read his apology. It might be heartfelt. It might be sincere. It might be like,
does
hey,
it
look,
matter, though, after it came after a suspension?
It matters for what's going to happen next. It really does.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm not saying anybody has to accept it, right? But if his apology does not come across as sincere or, as the commissioner said, unqualified, right, then it's going to be hard for him to get his next contract. Sure. I don't know a single place in the NBA that is open to bigotry.
Yeah, and I guess as an ordained minister,
dude, the church of the dude.
I have to say,
you have conducted a wedding with that certification.
I have. It wasn't very good because I opened the entire church thing, and when the father brought it was Sharla brought her down to the to Matt, and I was really nervous. The air conditioner had gone out. I'm in this, you know, suit, 3-piece suit, just sweating through everything, and I looked at, you know, the mister, and I said, "Who gives this man?"
Yep.
And that was how I started it.
And the whole place laughed and then took a deep breath and relaxed. It was the most amazing feeling, because up to that point, like you said, it was hot. It was sticky. And look, like nothing anybody could do about it, because like right before the wedding, this gone. All right, now we're all like, let's just, you know, make the most of it and everybody be comfortable as you can under these conditions. And then, like, you broke the ice, bro, and it was amazing, dude. It was the most amazing experience to suddenly realize that at that point nothing else could really could go wrong.
Well, there was two things against me at that moment, all right? And I want to say that this is Brian and Luke Hodges' fault, by the way. Let's just put that out there, okay? I was nervous, right? You came in and helped me kind of get my, like, thoughts together because, like, you know, for whatever reason, I was having trouble getting everything together. And Brian and Luke come in, and they're like, "Hey, man, we got some whiskey. Here's some shots." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that'll calm me down."
Shots.
I don't drink a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm like not like one of those guys that like to like at that time like to drink whiskey. And I just kind of underplayed exactly how much it was going to affect me. And I was like, whoa.
You aced
two shots
bro.
Of whiskey. I was like, poof. I mean, I could have done a couple of joints and been fine, but man, whiskey at that point in my life, I was just like crawling to the altar and being like, okay, I got to make this as quick as possible.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome, bro. And then at the end of the wedding, my nephew, who was living with me, who's now going to school up in New Hampshire, high-fived the groom on the way out. And it just like, to me, I felt like everything was just like that. It was a chill, fun environment, bro.
It was like
Pastor Dave's
was.
Wedding memories. That's I just wrote that down so everybody would know what to stick around for, because it was some good shit, bro. And then later on for Brian's wedding, remember I was with Matt, who we were at the other wedding, and we stopped at the liquor store when they were counting down for 3, we're like at the liquor store checking out, show up with a bottle of Jaeger and take shots.
Jaeger!
And everybody's
we
like,
can't hang out with
we
our
were
friends
waiting
without
for
Jaeger.
You. We were waiting for you. And I'm like, I didn't feel like now, you were waiting for us.
Now, there's two stories with this. Mark and Matt come flying in the door and they hand us, and everybody gets a good like swig out of it. Now, I recall that there was another person that took a swig that nobody else really recalls.
A man of the cloth, you think?
A man of the cloth. Now, am I right by that, or is I misunderstanding the situation? Because I remember the man of the cloth getting past the bottle and then putting the top on and be like, let's do this.
Okay.
Like, that's what I remember. But I mean, again, I was already
maybe,
11 o'clock
maybe
and I was
you were having
trashed.
An out-of-body experience because you yourself already admitted that you are a man in the cloth of some cloth. The dude's robe, anyway. But... I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. But I'll say this. Like, I was fucking hammered. Like,
I know. We were so drunk that entire trip.
We had drank all the other bottles. That's why we needed to stop and get the Jaeger. And it was a gnarly situation. Like, as far as, like, trying to keep your shit together while you're standing up in front of everybody.
As long as you started drinking at 8 o'clock with the group of the guys, like, the hangover from the night before didn't matter.
That's one thing I learned. But it piles up, and then we end up with a story like the way you ended up getting home, which was you didn't get out of the bathroom when they were landing the flight because you were puking so much, which I have to say that's the only time I've ever heard of them doing like going ahead
not
and landing
just that,
anyway.
But I forgot my luggage.
Yeah, that's true.
At the house, I forgot my luggage. Yeah, I had to have house. John ship it back to it yeah. to me on a train.
Yeah.
And then I went to go pick up my luggage at the train station, and I forgot my wallet with the train conductor. Yeah, dude, it was a fucked up situation. Like, there is no...
That's why...
There's no winning.
That's why alcohol, really, it's really less important than most people think in having, like, a good time. I know a lot of people are probably, you know, turning us off right now. They're like, we don't care about your stupid opinion about drinking. But I have found when you're with your friends, you're going to have a good time no matter what. So the less headaches, the better. And
we killed so many kegs.
Oh my god!
For Brian's wedding.
Anyway, well, good times. I remember they kept being like, "Drink the beer, drink the beer. We gotta drink the, we gotta float the keg." So we floated the keg, bro.
There was so much drinking. Listen, I love a good 3-day party, but there's a reason that I do a 3-day party like once every few years. So,
dude, I'm pretty sure we just pissed off everybody we know. anybody else that wants to not tell your stories, then. I'm sorry, but thanks for listening to all of our good times, bro. We got a nice run here of wins for the Thunder. We're gonna get back at it, bro. We're gonna get back at it, but this is gonna be a tough game coming up. The Bucks. All right, so all we gotta do is play like we did in the third quarter, in the first, second, third, and fourth quarter, and we got a chance.
Yeah, dude. In overtime if we need it.
And we need it. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you soon.